This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. It is hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. What a massive sports day once again as the Mavs had their press conference to talk about what comes next as their head coach search is now underway with the mutual parting of ways with Jason Kidd. And the Rangers, stunningly, in comeback fashion, beating the Rockies down 4-3 going to the ninth. They got it done. Another big day for Jake Berger, Zeke Duran, Justin Foscue, Josh Young, Jacob Latz. I'm still looking for an official answer on that. I guess I got to look at the box score. I really need Sands to give me the baseball education right now. If you come in as a reliever and you get the win because your team takes the lead, can you also get the save if you're pitching in the final inning with a lead of three or less? I would think yes. My logical baseball brain's telling me yes, but they probably have some sort of rule that you can only get one of the two.
Yeah, they just didn't award the save. They just gave him the win.
Got the dub. So I think he would think that's pretty cool. But he's got like five saves in the last 3 weeks. I think I'd rather have the save if I'm him right now as I'm starting to build this very impressive resume as one of the top relievers in baseball with Bobby Corella, All-City, joining us now here to talk more Mavs basketball and what comes next in a good evening, Bobby. How the heck are you?
I'm pretty good. Another day, another change. It is never boring around here.
It is not, man. And it's now pretty dang exciting, although I don't feel right in getting excited about moving on from a Hall of Fame point guard legend who won a championship with you and took you to the finals as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jason Kidd has a pretty interesting legacy here. Obviously, you know, was drafted by the Mavs, won Rookie of the Year, went off and did his own thing, and then came back because Dirk really wanted a point guard, and the Mavs ended up winning a title, and then it got weird whenever he left again, and then he came back, and it got weird with Luka. I mean, it's just every time something good happens, it was sort of counterbalanced by something that was kind of strange, and, you know, I think that's ultimately his story as a Mav. But the highs were really, really high with him as a player and a coach. I mean, I got to say, he won the team's only title, and he took them the closest they've been to winning one since. And so, you know, hats off to him for his Mavs career. But I think that everybody's pretty ready to move on, it seems like.
It is notable how many different insiders or former players today had a tweet or a post, you know, similar to the idea that Kidd's a winner, but if you have him around long enough, he's not going to have many friends left in any building he goes into.
Yeah, that has really been interesting to see because, you know, throughout his time here, now granted, I guess maybe draw from this what you will, but there weren't many guys that stayed here for multiple seasons. That is kind of the nature of the NBA nowadays anyway, but it really did feel like throughout his time here, a lot of role players in particular actually praised the fact that J. Kidd was just pretty honest with them about either playing time expectations, what he's asking from them, what he wants to see on the court and all of those things. And so for him to get praised now, but then like Michael Carter Williams, for example, is kind of cryptic posting about him, makes me think that maybe J. Kidd learned from that experience in Milwaukee earlier in his career. And yet, you know, there have been guys even in the last couple of years here that have kind of fallen out of favor in the rotation. Look at Jaden Hardy, for example. A few years ago, we thought he was going to be a cornerstone of the future. And, you know, then he was basically getting DNP'd for almost the rest of his time in Dallas. And so, you know, there were some praise from players, and there's clearly a lot of, you know, leftover angst or animosity toward the guy. And I mean, it's not surprising. I think J. Kidd is a, in the past, he's been billed as kind of a schemer, and you know, he clearly wanted more of a say in what was happening in Dallas and what was going to happen in Dallas. And I think Masai Ujiri kind of put a stop to that.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the clean slate term in evaluating the full staff. So how much of this do you think was about Kidd's fit, about maybe what he heard with his involvement with the Luka trade compared to the on-court performance, and as Gavin's been chatting with you about the player relationships?
Yeah, I don't know about his stuff in the Luka trade. I don't know that that mattered necessarily with Masai. I mean, he said it didn't. Masai Ujiri today said it didn't. So, you know, I'll take him at his word there. But, you know, I think the clean slate thing and turning the page, and he also said, like, they need to be aligned, you know, and unified. And he kept saying that over and over again. And that really made me think back in 2016-17, you know, it became pretty clear that Dirk's time with Dallas as like the guy was coming to an end, and the Mavs are going to have to turn the page. And they had a few really rough seasons there, but Rick Carlisle and or Donnie Nelson and Mark Cuban rather were very complimentary of Rick Carlisle's willingness to buy into a rebuild. And the Mavs stunk pretty bad for 3 years there. They won 33 games, 24 games, and then 33. And Rick Carlisle, who a few years before that had won a title, you know, and is clearly a Hall of Fame coach and is, you know, coaching for his legacy and all that stuff at that point, he bought in, which is pretty rare. You know, usually coaches with that level of cachet and resume want to coach a winner. But Ujiri today said the Mavs are going to be patient. They aren't going to try and go all in right now. They're not playing for today. They're playing for tomorrow and for the years to come. And so, you know, maybe that didn't align with what Jay Kidd wants. Maybe Jason Kidd wants to be a playoff coach and, you know, coach a good team that is trying to go for a title right now. And so there could be some of that, or it could be, you know, the result of a bit of a power struggle or maybe a question in, you know, where he fits in the pecking order. And I'm sure, you know, between following Mark Stein and Shams and a lot of other insiders, I'm sure we'll get more answers in the days and weeks to come.
Bobby Carillo with us here in the G-Bag Nation 105 through the Fan. So they're eating quite a bit of money left on Jason Kidd's deal. So when you look at that, and I get the fan base is apprehensive with this ownership, but is that at least a positive sign moving forward that they're kind of willing to sign the checks, empty their pocket, and spend maybe aggressively for the right coach and the right players when the time comes?
It could be. You know, we'll see. I think it's a lot easier to say, oh, yeah, this is the first one, I'll eat it now. And then, you know, what if the next hire also doesn't go that well? And, you know, there's pressure on Patrick DeMont to eat even more money. You know, will he be as willing to do it then? I'm not sure. But I think what is unknown is how much money Nico Harrison was still owed at the time of his dismissal. And then to go out and sign Masai Ujiri, I'm sure the Mavs gave him a ton of money. So, I mean, maybe DeMont is spending, you know, pretty highly in multiple spots right now. So that should hopefully give Mavs fans a little bit of optimism. But if Dallas is indeed going to pivot, you know, toward more of a rebuild, not a whole total complete rebuild because they don't own any of their picks for the next 5 years after this one. But, you know, if they are going to trade off some role players for maybe some extra mid to late first round picks and embrace youth and all that stuff, I wonder if the Mavs are going to have the appetite to go into the luxury tax and spend big, because if you're not going to win, then what's the point? So we'll see how that plays out on the court. But ultimately, when the time comes and it is time to get good, you have to pay a huge, huge salary because you just need a lot of good players to win. I mean, look at OKC right now. Like, we've been talking about it on the show. How many players that were on the Mavs this past season would even get on the court in this series? So, I mean, they have a lot of holes to fill, and it takes a lot of money and time and development to get to that level.
When Masai said every decision's going to be future-based, I think people temporarily thought maybe we could be headed for a fire sale or, you know, going young definitively around Cooper Flagg to try to recoup some of that draft capital. But if they do that this summer, that would be a surprise, right? If they do end up moving off of players, it kind of feels like after what he said about Kyrie Irving that this would come after they see what this group is capable of.
Maybe. I would be surprised if they traded Kyrie just because, you know, it's kind of the same as with Anthony Davis, although there was a lot of payroll implications with that deal. If you're trading an injured guy, then you're trading from a position of weakness. If you're trading a healthy guy, you're trading from a position of strength. And so even if ultimately, you know, Kyrie and the Mavs come to a mutual agreement that, hey, look, we're 3 years from winning a title, if that, maybe probably more. if you want to go win a ring, man, come back, give us two or three good months, show the league what you can do, and we will trade you to a contender of your choice and get a primo return. You know, that's probably like the best case trade scenario. Personally, I'm down to watch Kyrie spend out the rest of his days with the Mavs if that's what he wants. I mean, I love watching that guy play, and I think he and Coop would be very good together on the court. But I think the Mavs can trade other guys and get picks back.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure if you can trade Daniel Gafford, let's say, for a first rounder by himself, but Daniel Gafford and Najee Marshall, that easily gets you a one, maybe even two ones. You know, PJ Washington, I think they can still get stuff for him. You know, a little further down the roster, guys like Max Christie or even Derek Lively, there are guys on the team that they could trade and get picks or multiple picks back for while still maintaining that, you know, Coop and Kyrie core and developing around those guys. You know, throw Klay Thompson in there as well. I don't think you can get a first rounder, but you can definitely get something back. And so if you can work around the margins like that, the way that the Thunder did during their rebuild, I mean, they were constantly taking back bad money with an extra pick attached and then flipping that guy for a pick some years down the road. There are ways to do it without completely bottoming out, which, again, you don't want to do because, first off, you got Coop and you don't want to make him mad. And secondly, you don't control your own destiny in the draft for the next 5 years. So don't be terrible, but I think they can add picks while still being at least semi-competitive.
What do you think of the trade idea online of moving down with the Thunder and taking 12 and 17 for 9? Is that appealing to you?
Oh, my God, I would love that. I've been talking about that trade for months now. I mean, I think that, you know, it depends on who's available, obviously. But if they're going to keep Kyrie and if Kyrie's on board for, you know, sticking it out here for the years to come, there's no real point in forcing your draft pick to be a guard. You just don't have to do that just because you feel like you kind of need to, because we watched them without a point guard all year and it was really bad. But Kyrie's coming back, so you can go best player available. And there are guards, you know, in the teens, in that late lottery mid to late teens. Ibuka Okori from Stanford, I think, is one. Bennett Sturts from Iowa. So if you want a guard, there are guards there. But if you want to trade down and get a big, like a Daimara, or a wing, like Yauxel Lindeborg or Merez Johnson, you know, it's kind of like a combo forward big. There are guys that you can get in that 12 to 17 range that could help you right away and could bring some size and athleticism and all the things that, you know, that Masai Ujiri really values in players. So I would be down for that for sure. But while we're at it, I might want to see if OKC wants to give me one of their guards too. You know, AJ yeah. Mitchell, Cason Wallace, like those guys are sitting on the bench. Might as well send them here.
Bobby Curella talking Mavs with us here on 105.3 The Fan. You can catch him on All City. So we've been discussing realistic targets. Sean Sweeney seems like he is the betting favorite right now. It's with the Mavs, now with the Spurs. I love that idea because you're also taking away from a division rival. What do you think of that name, and are there some other names that stand out to you that maybe the Mavericks could be going after?
I would like Sean Sweeney. You know, he's a really intense guy, grinds tape, absolute basketball junkie. You know, he's like obsessed with basketball. And I think that's a really, you know, cool trait that I would love to see in the Mavs' next head coach. But, you know, if they go outside of the organization, you know, Mark Stein mentioned Mike Anori, who's currently the top assistant coach in Minnesota. And I think that he would be really good here. You know, he's a pretty creative mind. He filled in as, you know, kind of like long-term head coach last year because Chris Finch was dealing with some health stuff. So Mike Anori has been, you know, he's run the team for a while. Minnesota's been very good. They obviously play a very good brand of defensive basketball. They have a lot of athletes. You know, they can run a system similar to what Minnesota has here in Dallas. And Sean Sweeney, same thing. I mean, he was the defensive architect of that team that went to the conference finals in 22 and the finals in 24. He has experience here. He doesn't have any familiarity with Coop, obviously, but he does with Kyrie and some of the other players on the team. And so, you know, if you want kind of the same or similar style of defense as the Mavs have played under Jason Kidd, but with a new personality in charge, then I think he'd be a really good answer there. But I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they went with someone that hasn't been a head coach before. You know, neither of those two guys have. I think I'd almost be more surprised if they went out and got someone like Billy Donovan or, you know, some of these guys that have experience in the league, just because it really feels like with a young team that might not win a whole lot of games the next few years, you might as well bring in someone new that has some new ideas and that is going to be a little more patient than someone that might want to come in and win 55 games right off the rip.
Mm. What do you think about the John Shire report? And that obviously the connection with Cooper Flagg, but I mean, one, I don't know that he'd leave Duke, but I also don't really love that idea. He might have kind of underachieved if you ask a lot of Duke fans to this point.
Yeah, I don't super love that idea either, to be honest. College is more like pros now than it used to be, just because with NIL and the money and the pressure and all that stuff. But man, I don't know. I think I want someone that's stuck around the NBA. It's still a slightly different brand of basketball down there, and I want someone with NBA ideas. Granted, he does, you know, seemingly have a really good relationship with Coop and with Derek Lively. And I don't remember if he was on the Duke team with Kyrie or if that was his first year out of Duke, but I'm sure he knows Kyrie, you know, just from being there over the years. So, you know, there's relationships there, but yeah, I want someone with like NBA ideas and not a lot of college skins on the wall.
When the guys start getting back together in September, you think Lively's going to be full go and ready for a great season?
God, I hope so, man. I hope so. I mean, they really need him. You know, watching these playoffs, it is just – I really hope that people don't take for granted what he was able to do as a rookie in 2024. I mean, he was the best big man on the floor for every single series they were in. Like, he outplayed Gobert. He really outplayed Chet Holmgren. Like, he was so good as a 19, 20-year-old, and it's a shame that his injuries have just robbed him of the last couple seasons, because that dude is unbelievable, and you need someone that size to even make Wemby blink. Like, they really, really need Lively to be back next season and to play 60 or 70 games, because it's also the last year of his deal already. His rookie contract is going to be up after next season, and they got a big extension decision to make with him, so... You know, I don't want it to get messy. I want it to be all good. And I also know that the next time the Mavs are really good, it's probably going to be, or at least hopefully going to be, in part because Lively is such a stud.
Yeah, you know, and I think that can happen next year. I think they could win a lot of games next year. And if I would say if you don't think that's possible, then you probably should blow it up and go young. Because, you know, Kyrie's not getting any younger.
Yeah, I think they can too. I mean, I think if they keep this thing together and they just have, like, just not horrible injury luck. The last 2 years have just been so brutal. But if they just get average numbers of games from all these guys, I think they're easily a play-in team next year, if not pushing for top six. You know, it depends on what happens with some other teams. But there's a lot of teams ahead of them that are getting older, like Denver. I don't know what's going to happen with Houston. Is Kevin Durant going to stick around there or not? Like, there's some teams in that sort of 3-8 range that could face a little bit of upheaval, and the Mavs can absolutely take advantage. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for them to get much higher than that, but I could definitely see them falling somewhere between like 6 and 8, 6 and 9.
So I was going to ask if watching Wemby be this good would make you think that maybe we should take the long road and rebuild long term. But what you just said about Lively, it doesn't sound like you'd be scared if they can stay healthy and bring this thing together.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, this time last year, we were sitting here probably even this time last month. We're all sitting here thinking, man, no one is ever going to beat the Thunder. They're just going to win the next 10 titles in a row. And then San Antonio comes along, and now you're thinking, okay, well, the Thunder, they don't even look that good anymore. And now they got all these payroll questions. And I mean, things change so quickly in the NBA. And, you know, Wemby and Castle and Dylan Harper are going to put the Spurs in the same exact situation 2 or 3 years from now. All of those guys are going to need to get paid. And when that happens, all of a sudden, you know, Devin Vassell, probably not going to be able to stick around anymore. De'Aaron Fox, probably not going to be able to stick around anymore. And so, sure, the next couple of years are going to be really, really tough. But after that, who knows? who knows what happens, you know, and I would love for the Mavs to be well positioned, maybe not to make an all-in trade for someone like Giannis right now or whatever, but in two or three seasons, the next time a superstar wants out, Coop's going to be 22. The Mavs are going to have five or six picks that they can offer. And all of a sudden it becomes a really, really attractive destination where if you go out and get that guy, yeah, you have a chance now to win the conference. And I think that's actually really possible. So I would just hate to root for a team that's like, nah, let's take the next decade off because we're afraid of Wimby. Like, no, go beat him. Go beat him.
Would you be willing to give the 30th pick back to the Sixers, which was originally theirs, for Nick Nurse?
No, I would never trade a first-round pick for a coach, ever.
Great stuff, Bobby. I think congrats on getting a new coach in here. You know, on a more exciting and interesting offseason than we already had, man. I can't wait to read your thoughts and check out yourself on All City. And thank you so much for joining us on The Fan.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you.
Salute. There he goes. Bobby Carella, All City, with you here in the G-Bag Nation on 105 through The Fan. Let's come back and talk more sports. Recap how the Rangers won the series with the Rockies and some of the other talking points from Masai Ujiri, plus a snapshot of the day of Cowboys news here coming up next, The Fan.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.